Welcome to the Tap Room exclusive. I am here at Catawba Island Brewing Company in Port Clinton. I have three gentlemen here. Would you like to introduce yourself, gentlemen?
My name is Mike Roeder. I'm the president of the Catawba Island Brewing Company.
My name is Eric Ladrowski. Most people know me as Lou. I do all the sales and marketing for the brewery.
My name is Matt Ritter, and I'm the head brewer and artist.
I appreciate you guys taking the time to be here today to have me over. This is a really awesome tap room. I really like the vibe here. It's a really cool ambiance. Thank you again for letting me come on up. We have four beers here in front of us. Which one did you guys want to get into first?
We may as well just start with the number one? The Seiche.
Absolutely. That is your Scottish ale, correct?
Yes, the Seiche Scottish ale, commonly mispronounced Seiche, Seiche, above.
I heard Lou pronounce it, and I was like, I wrote down the phonetics on my notes, I got it right. And it's awesome that you guys do a Scottish ale, because not a lot of companies are doing Scottish ales, especially all the time.
Right. It's not a very popular brand or not a very popular style. You don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but the people that enjoy it love it.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
So the Seiche is it's a very basic beer. It's as simple of a beer as we make. We've got two grains, one hop, and we just let that yeast shine.
Yeah, there's a nice sweetness to it. I love malt. I love the profile of malt. I was just writing an article about the first craft beer I ever had was an Elliott Ness from Great Lakes. And I think because of that being one of my first crafts, I always gravitate towards that malt profile. I love red ales, Scottish ales. I love this. This is one of the best Scottish ales I've tasted. Seriously, guys, this is fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, glad to hear it.
So if you like malt, this is definitely a good beer for you. It's
very malt forward.
Yeah. There's just enough bittering to kind of offset the sweetness, and that's just makes it a very drinkable Scottish ale.
It's very balanced. Yeah. What was the inspiration behind making this beer? What was it with a Scottish ale that made you guys say, hey, let's do this?
Honestly, it was... One of the original partners in the brewery, it was a recipe that he'd had in his back pocket forever, and we brought it to the production system, and the second batch we brewed, it just came out really good. Mm-hmm. And it was just something that we knew we could consistently do. We knew people enjoyed it, and we just stuck with it.
Now, what kind of system are you guys using here? I like that you can see that your system right here through the window. You're here in the facility that makes the beer as well. I love that addition. What kind of system are you guys using?
We're using an SK brew house. It's a 15-barrel brew house, and it's made in Slovenia. My mother's whole side of the family is Slovenian, so that helped. That was bit of an easy sale.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. And what brought you guys to Catawba Island?
I was born and raised in Port Clinton. Lou was born and raised in Marblehead, which is the other peninsula next to us. And Matt was raised just off the peninsula up in Castalia. So we're all local locals. Yeah, yeah.
I used to come up here on my summers and work a long time ago, 10 plus years ago now.
Oh, great.
It's been a while. And it's amazing to see how this area has grown. My sister still lives down the street from here, you know, and it's just amazing to see what all has come from to this area. And I think a lot of that has to do with craft breweries, you know.
Right.
Breweries really help the influx of the local economy. And I think everything you guys are doing up here is just great work.
Yeah. And, you know, beer tourism is a thing. So it helps. You know, we're pulling people off coming from the West Toledo area, coming over to Cedar Point. They're stopping on their way across or their way back. We're pulling some people off of 90 coming down the turnpike. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great. It just drags a few extra people into town. And we've got a lot of great local organizations trying to really promote tourism, promote business in the area. And all that work's starting to pay off, as you can tell.
Absolutely. Going back to the Scottish ale here, what would you say pairs very well with the Scottish ale?
That pairs very well with the Scottish ale. I'm actually
it's
not,
a hard one to it, pair with. That's the
yeah,
style.
And I'm a hard person to ask. I don't really care for drinking and eating at the same time. So
no,
somebody else can field this question.
You like to have? Do you like just have the flavor of the beer by itself?
Right. I prefer to have. I prefer to enjoy both separately. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all,
sir. There's plenty of other people that do.
Absolutely.
When we do beer dinners, it's easy to gravitate this beer to the dessert.
Okay.
Most of the time the chef that we work with is interested in pairing it with different things. So we've done a lightly smoked fish. This has been very good with. We've done one of them was a sweet bread.
Okay.
With like a hand churned butter that went really well with it was amazing.
Oh, that just sounds great.
That fattiness from the butter really brought some flavors out of the sage that I don't know if I forgot exist or I never knew existed, but it really changed it up.
Where's the sage name come from?
So a sage is similar to almost a freshwater tidal wave. I don't know if you've heard about the recent nor'easters we've had. Mm-hmm. So we've had wind blowing out of the northeast, and us being in the western basin of Lake Erie, that pushes all the water to the western basin, and it then of course comes up over our breakwalls and
right.
And then after the high pressure system or low pressure system moves out, the water will go back to the east side of the lake and then come back not as strong, and that would be the verb of seiching.
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay,
it's a common thing that happens around here, and we figured we could kind of point it out and bring a little bit of kind of bring it to the mainstream so people know what it is.
Outside of the brewing, naming's often the most fun part.
Oh yeah,
isn't it?
Like, yeah, sometimes the beer precedes the name. Sometimes you've got a beer and you have no idea what you're going to name it. Mm. Sometimes I've got a list of names in my cell phone of beers I'm trying to. You know, that we want to name when we can find a beer that fits it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of come up with some names, and now you're going to find a style that fits it.
Right,
in a way.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's cool.
Exactly.
That's really cool. It's an art in and of itself, naming beer, like you said. You know,
right.
it's a challenge, but when you find that perfect one, it's just great to hear.
Right, and even changing, even a name will determine how well that beer sells. You know,
absolutely.
We've changed the name of a beer and it overnight just totally changed it. And
yeah,
that's all it takes.
What else would you like to get out about Seiche, about the history of it, about the anything behind it that you'd want people to know about?
So yeah, I mean one kind of neat thing is. Most breweries don't do a Seiche like you'd mentioned, do a Scottish ale like you'd mentioned, and it's not something that's very widely known and talked about in general. But when we first started distributing, our distributor sold so much of this. You know, they said, "Guys, you've got a flagship, a brewery of your size." You know, we were less than a year in at that point. Don't usually have flagships. People just try their, work through their products. And of all breweries that have had flagships, I've never seen one be a Scottish ale.
Right.
You know, so it had shocked them and thus shocked us, you know, but we were glad to, have one thing that we knew we could lean on.
It's a hard style to nail down, too. I think that's why a lot of people don't necessarily
right.
do it.
The
especially
simplicity.
For like a flagship.
Right.
Is it's just. It's hard to balance it the way, like especially the way you guys have,
right?
How
and
well this is balanced.
The simplicity of the malt bill and the hop bill is—that's what comes back to haunt you because you can't mess anything up.
Yeah, this is. It starts off sweet, it ends a little sweet, but it's got that nice, the malty, the toasted bread.
It's not overwhelming.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's
a very drinkable, wee heavy Scottish ale for sure.
It's 7% ABV, so it's not. Super heavy.
No.
And it's a little crushable, I would say. Slightly crushable at 7%.
Shortly after we opened, we had a group. It was six little old ladies that came in. They saw a tasting room up on the sign, and they thought it was a winery.
Okay.
So, they said, "Oh, we're sorry. We thought it was a winery." And we convinced them to stay and have a pint, so we
oh,
gave
nice.
Them a little, we We had them buy some samples. They tried it out, and they loved the sage. So they sat there, and they drank one. And then a little bit later, they were drinking a second one. You know, I left my bartending shift. And as I was about to leave, you know, their glasses were getting kind of low. And I said, hey, just so you know, at that point, it was an 8% beer. So this is 8%. Like, this is not drinking, you know, drinking a Miller Lite or anything at home. You know, this is a real beer. And they, you know, kind of looked shocked. And so I left, and I came in early the next morning, and lo and behold, there was 4 Crown Victorias in the parking lot. They all ended up calling a taxi. And, and taxiing home. So it was
better safe than sorry.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That was a lot of fun. They had no idea what they were getting into. And,
no.
luckily, we caught it and were able to stop them before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Before anything bad happened. But that's also kind of what's great about craft breweries is there's no real – it appeals to everybody.
You
can find stuff that appeals to everybody.
Right, and we've seen all of those. Actually, one of them is now a regular. You know, we
that's
see her
awesome.
Quite often. So it's – yeah, it's nice.
It's great seeing stuff like that.
Right.
You know, being a part of like a local community like this and seeing the people that live in this area come back more over and over and over again to support you guys.
Right, and especially in the winter, you know, it's kind of a cheers atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know who's going to be here on what nights. You know, there's always the odd ones out, and especially with Davis Bessie being so close, you've got a lot of transient workers that come and they pass the brewery every night after work going back to the hotel. And we've got the Coast Guard station nearby. We see them quite a bit. So it's nice. You know, the steady, you know, 5-6 people that are going to be in every Wednesday, every Thursday. And then there's, you know, a bunch of new ones, and they hear, you know, a regular walk in the door and 2 people yell, Susan, and they all know, hey, this is a local hangout.
Yeah. You know, like you said, especially in winter, it's a great place to have, to be able to go to, locally. 'Cause you know, in the summer you can kind of, it's easy to kind of get everywhere and everything, but in the winter, it's not always easy to get everywhere. And especially up here.
Yeah, and, you know, growing up out here, I remember the winters, there was nothing to do.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to even get a bite to eat, go out to dinner, you know, you had Thursday, Friday, and then the weekend, you know.
Yep.
And that always drove me nuts. So when I moved back and opened the brewery, that was one thing I wanted to make sure, is that year-round we were open. We cut our hours back. We're closed Monday, Tuesday in the winter. But other than that, we stay open. It's not a big money maker, but it's year-round employment for the bar staff, and
keeps the name in people's heads.
Right,
too.
Right. And you know, we've got to be here. We got to keep the building hot because we distribute beer anyway. So, why not keep the tasting room open?
Absolutely. So you distribute everything comes out of this building right here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we distribute throughout Northwest Ohio. North is the Michigan border to the Indiana border. Down as far south as about Lima through NWO Beverage. And then from Erie County, so Sandusky, to the west side of Cleveland, a little bit in Akron and Canton, a little bit in Columbus. We do all of our own self-distribution. So Lou over here does all the sales, delivery, marketing. We do all the events. So we've got a pretty good footprint and growing. You know, the summer we keep up, and then in the fall we expand the footprint.
Absolutely. Thank you guys. I appreciate your time being here. This is the first episode of our feature on Catawba Island. We talked about the Seiche Scottish Ale. Anything else you wanted to get out before we head out with this beer?
That's about all I got, guys.
It's going to be in cans here pretty soon.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So
that's
be
awesome.
Available in cans. You'll be able to pick
6
it up.
Packs?
Yep.
Awesome. That's great.
We're shooting for about June on that. We've got a lot of hot blonde to catch up on.
Absolutely.
As soon as we can catch a break in that, then we'll switch over and start adding a couple more brands. So.
Awesome. Thank you guys for your time. We'll be back next week with another feature on Catawba Island Brewing Company.